let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio today with Father John. Welcome back, Father John. Great to see you.
Good morning.
It's good to see you today. We're going to talk about Jacob a little bit more in this podcast and based on the post on ancienthopes.org.
Yeah, it's really bringing Jacob now to his grand conclusion after so many years, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how you picture Jacob throughout all this time, all his life, but it's not pretty, right?
Right, yeah. His whole life has been very destructive of himself and his family. So it's been tough.
Yeah, and we saw in the last post, you know, that encounter in Beersheba.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Where he just came into his own there. Now we see what it actually looks like now, okay? Before, you wouldn't use the word dignified for the man.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, not at
but
all.
But now, you see him in his full dignity.
Yeah.
Right?
And so do you think that connection with God that he had in the last post in Beersheba, was that really moved him into the person that he is
right
now?
I think it connected him. I mean, can you imagine the grandson of Abraham? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and Isaac. Remember we talked about him. Everything seemed to go well in his life, right? And here's Jacob. You know, that's a hard line to follow, don't you think?
Well, it's a hard line to follow, but he didn't seem to have any real desire to live up to his ancestors and the people that they were.
Well, maybe he had desire, but the way he was going about it was wrong. It was by, right, you know, stealing.
Yeah.
Deceit. And his life was full of idolatry with regard to his wife and sons.
Sure, yes.
Yeah, so there's no dignity there, but now we see a whole lot of dignity.
Yep, yeah, that's true.
We see the old man staring off into the land, probably more of a desert scene. We have to use our imagination, right?
Right, yeah.
And then in the distance, you see the dust rising, and we see these chariots coming with pounding hooves, right? And the glory of Joseph and Judah, you know, riding on
right,
this
coming
together,
back.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it's like almost heaven opens for him, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a movie scene.
It is, you know, and actually the word in Hebrew to describe Joseph coming down off his chariot is that he appeared.
Mm.
That's very awkward, but it's an important word.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's theophanic language.
Okay.
God appears, mm-hmm. right? And here, Joseph appears.
Yeah, so they use the same word.
It's a theophanic word. It's mm-hmm. loaded, okay?
Yeah.
And so the Hebrew mind would have caught that.
Yeah. Good thing right? you're here to help me catch it and our listeners.
Right. And then what does he do? He falls on his father and weeps, right? And it's okay for Joseph to weep now because at this point, you know, he's set the game. He's emerged. God blesses his wisdom. He's reconciled with his brothers. He has wept over them. He shows emotion. And now he sees his father and he weeps. It's a little bit of a in the Hebrew, it's a little bit ambiguous whether it's Jacob who weeps or Joseph, but I'm sure it's Joseph because Jacob at this time is realizing something, right? He has his calm dignity of an ancient, wizened old man who's gone through the mill in life. And even though his eyes are starting to grow dim, he sees it now.
Yeah.
He sees that God has done the impossible in his life. And what a beautiful place to be.
Yeah. He seems to have a real new understanding of who he is and how he is in relationship with God.
Right. So, I guess you'd call this, he's illumined, now, right? He's gotten to a great place in his walk with the Lord. So he says, nunc dimittis, pretty much. Like we say the nunc dimittis every evening prayer, okay? When we have Simeon saying, Now I can go.
Now
I can go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I was just in Rome, okay?
Yeah.
Here's little Johnny the Baptist, and I'm St. Peter's, and I'm saying Mass at a side chapel, okay? And underneath the altar is the bones of St. John Chrysostom, okay?
Wow.
The golden tongue, the great patriarch of Constantinople.
Man.
And afterwards, all I could say was, nunc dimittis. What is more than this for some little guy like me to be able to have this privilege? I said that a number of times in our pilgrimage because there were a lot of wonderful things transpired like that. So you get to the point when you're old and, you kind of get to the place where, okay, now I can die.
Yeah. These great things have finally occurred in my life.
Right. I've seen my suffering. I've seen everything I put myself through. I've seen everything that God put me through, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all done, and so he sees purpose.
Yeah.
And I've said this many times before, Danny, that the greatest fear we have as humans may not be death, but the fear of things being unpurposeful or, right? That there's no meaning.
Right.
Right? And to see meaning. It's a beautiful thing in this life.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like we're finally past the finale of the play. The play is finished and now it's just sort of the rest of the story, which is amazing.
That's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We come onto this world, the stage, right? We play our part. Again, it's not so much what part we're given, but how well we play our part.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
And it's going to be messy. Right. It's going to be messy. So, and it certainly is messy with Jacob. So he appears now before Pharaoh. Okay. Now, this is an interesting thing because we see him speaking back and forth with Pharaoh in conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We saw this before when Joseph was brought out of prison and Joseph bantered back and forth with the God, right?
Yeah.
No one talks with Pharaoh this way.
Right.
Right?
I'm sure that everybody standing around would have thought, wait a minute, who is this guy?
Right. Yeah. So what's true earlier for Joseph is now true for Jacob.
Yeah, speaking to the God-like figure as an equal.
And Pharaoh is curious about this old guy. So there must be something, an aura about him that really caught the attention of Pharaoh, who probably had seen everything in his life, right?
Yeah.
And like many potentates are bored to death with this or that, right? Because they've seen everything now. But he's really drawn now to this old wisdom guy, right? So there's an assumption here that there's an equality with Pharaoh the God and Jacob.
Yeah, sort of this amazing old man who's had all this incredible life experience and has lived to be 130 years or whatever it is.
Right. So Israel becomes godlike, right? And of course, that's what we've been talking about, this divinization type thing, that the idea of perfection, okay? The last person you'd call perfect is Jacob, right?
Yeah.
But he was, because he was on a trajectory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's an important thing.
Yeah, sure. Right? It goes back to everything that we've said about what it means to be perfect.
You know, and look at what he says about his life. This is very touching. Mm-hmm. I've always been very struck by this verse because when Pharaoh asked him about his age, he says, "The years of my earthly sojourn are 130. Few and hard have they been, or the years of my life have been. They do not compare with the years of the life of my ancestors during their long sojourn."
Wow.
Okay. So this is really profound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first thing he's saying the years of my sojourn. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so it's a journey. He sees himself really as in this life an exile from something that maybe is in the future.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Wargel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
So this is really profound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first thing he's saying the years of my sojourn. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, so it's he a sees journey. Himself really as in this life an exile from something that maybe is in the future.
Okay.
Right. I shouldn't even say maybe. Okay. By saying that he is a sojourner, that means he's just a pilgrim. And what we talked about earlier about our play, and then we leave the play, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's all here. It's all packed into this whole idea.
Hmm.
To come to the point that we are actual sojourners, that this world is not our home. I mean, we might say it a lot, you know, oh, this world is not my home. They even sing, remember the old song about that, right?
Yeah.
But to actually really, really profoundly connect with the fact that this life is fleeting and not to go into despair, but acknowledging that that's the nature of this thing we call mortal life.
Right.
The fact that we're pilgrims on a journey somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that somewhere is greater than what we are experiencing now. And to use your imagination to connect with it, the reality of the next world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just thought today in Mass today, this idea that it's only through imagination that we can make our way back to reality.
Hmm.
Because so often we're living in a very unimaginative way. Like what we're talking about here, imagining ourselves in these episodes, very crucial. Because what our imagination does, that's if it's holy and sanctified, it creates the reality that we ought to live in. But it's not like creating reality, because the reality is there.
Okay.
It's the life of hope, right? So if we can't see heaven.
Yeah, then how can we live for it?
Right. And the only way to see it is through the images that the Bible gives us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so we have to engage our imagination to get to reality.
Yes, okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, to get reality is hard word for me, because when I think of reality, I think of what's all around me, what's physically here right now. But I think what you mean is the reality of this idea that what's true.
Of what's true.
Yeah.
Most of us live in illusions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the philosophers will tell you that. They're always asking what's real.
Yes, right.
Okay. Well, everything in this world is very unreal, especially when we are looking at it through the glasses of our own understanding. Who can figure this stuff out? Is what I'm experiencing real? All these kind of questions, you know, what's real?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible is always telling us what's real, but how do you get there?
Hmm.
God's given us this power in our lives called, in our interior, it's called imagination.
Yes.
Animals don't have it. So it's really imagination that takes us to reality.
Yeah. And so you can sort of say that in his life, Jacob lived as if there was reality was all around him, and that was just his reality without any idea of what a future reality might be. And now he's grown into this idea.
He's grown into it. Yeah.
This journey to perfection.
Yeah.
Right. That there's something bigger, and he understands that now.
And in comparison to Esau, this world was his home.
Yes.
And he was quite happy with that. I mean, that's just, you know, most people are, you know, well, this is it. So I might as well make the best of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Jacob, by stealing his blessings and by doing, you know, and his deceit, was striving for something in his own power, which he couldn't get by his own power.
Right.
But God respected that passion, okay?
Yeah.
And he can do something with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his means were wrong, right?
Yes,
so,
yeah.
Now, so much of Jacob's life was, well, yeah, this world is my home, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a fight, and it's a fight with all of us, right?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But God wouldn't let him, wouldn't let that happen for
him. He wouldn't let it go at that.
Yeah, and isn't that how it is with me? I mean, I know, I've always known that this world is passing and transient, blah, blah, blah. But even now, I find my claws digging into it, trying to suck some kind of life out of it.
Sure.
When I know full well that that's not the case. And I also know that throughout most of my life, it seems like God's been dragging me, kicking and screaming, thank you, Jesus, right?
Yeah, toward the real reality.
Towards real reality, right?
Right.
So that's why it's so fascinating to look at these stories, because in spite of himself, Jacob came by God's grace to a great place, right?
And I think that's what this whole story helps me to understand, that if Jacob, if this guy who was so seemingly bad can finally make the switch, you know, make the turn and find himself in this new reality where the journey has been to somewhere that's more important than what's here on earth, then that can happen to me too. God can help me
do
that too.
That's the point. That's why from the very beginning of the story, you know, even with our post, you know, Jacob the jerk, I know I hate using that word and stuff like that, but I use it just to make it pop out.
Right.
That, you know, I feel myself to be that way too, you know?
Yeah.
But the fact is that God, you know, God is, Yahweh is the God of Jacob. He's the God of Jacob-like people, right?
Right, sure.
Right. And, but he can bring us to a dignity that's far beyond anything that we could ever imagine, because a dignity is part of the imago Dei, you know, it's part of where God wants us to be. Who is more dignified than Jesus, right?
Mm.
And the less like Jesus we are, the less dignified we really are, but more like Jesus we become.
Yes, for definitely my whole life, I can see this wandering of mind. You know, this journeying has been away.
Walk.
Yes, has been away from God, and then God dragging me back, and then away from God, and God dragging me back. Yeah,
right. Yeah, and so look at the end of this episode. Okay, we find that the beginning of this conversation with Pharaoh, specifically that Jacob, or Israel now, blessed Pharaoh.
Yeah.
Okay. And at the end of the whole conversation, he blessed Pharaoh.
He does it again.
So, you know, we've seen something like this earlier with Abraham, right? Well, Melchizedek blesses Abraham.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? I'll bless those who bless you, okay? That sort of thing, right? Which, you know, the author of Hebrews makes a big deal out of this, because Melchizedek becomes a part of Christ. Even Christ is greater than Abraham, right?
Yes.
So the greater blesses the less, right?
Mm,
and so now he's greater than Pharaoh, because he is blessing Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is probably thinking in his heart, I'm blessed by this father of, you know, my great servant Joseph, who's brought great honor and glory to me, right?
Right, yeah.
That
was my question is, was Pharaoh standing there sort of smirking you know, because this old guy, you know, is blessing him. But I don't think so. I think you're right. I think the text would say that yeah.
something really awesome is happening
right.
here.
Yeah.
Because this never happens in Egypt, right? Because mm-hmm. he's the sun god. He's the god over all everything, right?
Right. Yeah.
And now we see the God of Jacob intruding into his life in a very positive way. Right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And so we see that Israel now is a free man. God's bringing him to freedom, right? And the freedom from grasping the things of this world to get some sort of transient fulfillment. He sees the big picture, and he's free of himself.
Right, that's it, yeah. Yeah, free of all those things that he did in his whole life that were just not where he should have been. Yeah.
Right. So now he truly takes his place among the great, right?
Wow. Great story.
Oh, I love it, don't you? I hope I didn't get too caught up in this whole thing of imagination. I probably need more time in a different place to really unpack that.
Yeah. But it's very deep. It's very deep, and it's complicated. It's not yeah. It's not sort of simple idea right. of using your imagination. It's much
yeah.
more than that.
Yeah. But you know, I saw a poster one time with Einstein. He said, and it said underneath it, a quote from him, "Imagination is more important than knowledge."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never forgot that. And here's this guy who's the epitome of a physicist, basically telling the Western world, which focuses on knowledge and intellect and reason and all these things, he's saying, hey, you're not going to get there.
Yeah. You have it wrong.
You have it wrong, right?
Right.
Yeah. So wow. Anyways, I'm sure that in the post I come along in our podcast, we'll talk more about that. So.
Yeah, good. Okay. Thanks so much. Great story. Thanks so much for coming in.
God bless.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to AncientHopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.